been 2 weeks on the spiritual battle as we move to the end of the book of Ephesians. We actually are ending it today. We have been 2 weeks on the spiritual battle, which is the last movement of the letter. He's talked about all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ through the cross of Christ. Now he's brought Gentiles, non-Jews together in one church, one family of God. And then beginning in chapter 4 and 5, first part of 6, he's been very practical about our daily walk in all kinds of ways. But as he moves to the end, he is saying, but be aware, we live in the midst of battle, spiritual battle. Now, eternity is going to be a part of it. But in this fallen, broken, rebel world, we live our lives in the atmosphere of spiritual battle and conflict, and we've got to be prepared and aware. In the first week, we saw that the devil actually schemes against believers. He schemes. You got demonic enemies scheming all the time against you. And then the very next verse, we saw that our battle, our real battle, is not human, it's not flesh and blood, it is the demonic forces of hell, spiritual forces of darkness, that the battle is spiritual. In light of that, he said this twice, take up the full armor of God. Take up the full armor of God. It's so vital. Then in the second week, we looked at what actually the armor is, and we saw 6 pieces of the armor. They include the belt of truth, and what it refers to there is our own truth-telling, our own commitment to honesty. Anytime you lie, prevaricate, deceive, shade the truth, you are opening yourself up to the enemy getting an inroad in your life. That ought to sober us. Now, none of us have that down. Secondly, he talked about the breastplate of righteousness. You know, the classic armor. Now, that righteousness is the practical daily righteousness. In other words, it is obeying Jesus Christ. That is part of your armor. In fact, in many ways, that's the essence of your armor. Every time you don't obey the Lord, it's like you put a chink in your armor where a spear or a sword can drive in. Obey the Lord. Thirdly, he talked about the shoes for the gospel. As our heart to reach out to our top 5 to lost people, our willingness, our heart to reach out, we'll come back to that briefly. Fourthly, he talked about, the shield of faith, that is, trust in the Lord and not in your own resources, not in your own understanding. Live by faith. Fifthly, there's the helmet of salvation, being confident of what God says in his word, that if we trust Jesus as our Savior, he saves us. He saves us. All our sins are forgiven forever and we're safe in him. And then sixthly, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Live in that word because that is your sword. That is the only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Now, with all 6 of those, he now comes to prayer, which is not a 7th piece of the armor. Rather, it is the atmosphere that we fight the battle in, applying to each piece of the armor. But prayer is how we fight our battle spiritually. And if you will stand, I'd like to read this passage from God's Word. As we stand in honor of this is God's Word. So I'm in chapter 6, verse 18, to the end of the letter. After saying, take up all these elements, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. This is God's holy word. Please be seated. prayer is where he's going to focus as he wraps up the spiritual armor and the spiritual battle. Now, earlier in the book of Ephesians, we had magnificent prayers by Paul for the Ephesian Christians at the end of chapter 1 and at the end of chapter 3. In fact, those are Paul's two most meaty prayers that he includes. As he comes to the end of the book, he comes to prayer again, but not this time his prayer for them, but rather he calls them to pray in the battle, including pray for me, he says. Now, his call is urgent. It's urgent because the stakes are so high. It is because we are in a cosmic spiritual battle. It's because there are demons out there scheming against us, shooting fiery darts against us. It is because Satan is like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. It's because of all those things that the call to prayer is urgent. It's not tepid, lukewarm, mild. It's urgent. It's a stirring call because bullets are flying. Shrapnel is thrown through the air. Soldiers are bleeding. And so we're called to the urgency of prayer. Now, verse 18, where I'm going to spend just about all the time because it is so meaty. As I read it again, I'd like to ask you, would you feel with me the urgency that Paul feels? Would you feel that with me? This is what he says. He says, take up all these weapons, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, that's emphatic language. That's strong language. There's urgency about. You know, if right now God did what he did in 2 Kings, what is it, about chapter 6, and just sort of took the spiritual curtain of reality away from our eyes so that we could see the unseen realm, all the angels of heaven, all the demons of hell, if we could see that right now, nobody would ever have to tell you and me to pray. We'd be praying all the time. If we could see reality that's unseen. Here, Paul calls us with the emphatic term all four times. Did you notice that? Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All. He's emphatic. Let's unpack each one of those. He says to us, he says to you, God says to you, he says to pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times. How are you going to pray at all times? You sleep at night. You do some other things. How are you going to pray at all times? Or, as he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. This is what I take the Bible to mean, is that you're always in an attitude of prayer because you live your life in the presence of God. Do you not? God is always with you. He's in you. He's the air you breathe. He is always right here, and you live your life in the presence of God. So in an atmosphere of you just talking to the Lord throughout the day, even if you're not talking, you're ready to listen at any time. Any promptings, leadings, moving in your heart, you are in a nonstop connected relationship with the Lord. Now, if prayer was a religious activity, you couldn't pray without ceasing, but it's not. It's not a religious activity. Get that out of your minds. Prayer is at heart connecting with the Lord, and we ought to be connected all the time. We're connected with the Lord. We're just living our lives in the presence of the Lord. He's here. He's with us. And so I'm just connecting. Sometimes I'm just listening. Sometimes I'm just soaking. I'm just sort of soaking in his love and letting him love me. But I'm always connected. So we're praying at all times. Now, sometimes that atmosphere of prayer erupts in a verbal expression. Maybe I sing to him while I'm driving down the road. Maybe as a prompting, and I pray for Mike over there, or God put something in my heart, and it give expression to it in prayer. But I'm always connected with the Lord, living my life in the presence of the Lord. Pray at all times. You're always connected. You're always aware of His presence. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Now, because there is a spiritual battle raging around us, we don't just sort of pray just from our human self, but we want to be led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, fueled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, prompted by the Spirit. Lord, would you teach me to pray? And you're sort of alert and aware of things that God is putting on your heart. You're praying at all times in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. So, that's the first one. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Then he has the second one when he says, with all prayer and supplication. Now, I take it this way. Most likely, with all prayer, all kinds of prayer. We've been praying for 20 minutes this morning before I got up here. As we worship the Lord, we're praying. As we give praise, as we give thanksgiving, as we sing to Him, all that's prayer. Other times, there's confession, repentance, brokenness. Other times, there's silence, listening, soaking in His presence. At other times, we call out to the Lord. We cry out to God. We bring our needs to Him. That's petition. Or we bring others' needs. That's called intercession. All kinds of prayer. So, not just one. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer and supplication. Thirdly, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Now, there's two thoughts here. Keep alert with all perseverance. Keep alert. Okay, we're alert to the Lord's promptings and leadings. I hope you, in your life, you feel at times God puts somebody in your heart. Or He puts something on your heart to do, that you're alert to that. And you're just alert to the fact that there is a raging spiritual battle around you, and you got to pray for your family, you got to protect your family. Hopefully, you're praying for your church and your pastor and other folks that mean something to you. But you're alert. Now, church, again, if we took away the curtain of spiritual reality and saw what's really going on out there, we'd be alert. When I run at Burroughs Park, I've mentioned this a couple of times recently. It's by Spring Creek, and there are a lot of copperheads out there and other snakes. And you just don't run there in the summer, or really 9 months of the year in Texas. You just don't run there without being alert that at any time you could step on a thing that looks like a stick, but it's in fact a copperhead. So you're alert. I was out there yesterday, I was alert. Friends, you've got a prowling lion looking to devour you, ruin your marriage, ruin your soul, lie to you about who God is, about who you are, and cause havoc in all kinds of ways in your life. Be alert. Be alert. Keep alert. Keep alert. Bullets are flying. Thomas a Kempis was the 15th century writer who wrote Imitation of Christ, a classic Christian little book. Not that good. Well, it may be fine. He said this. He said, the devil sleepeth not, neither is the flesh as yet dead. Therefore, cease not to prepare thyself for the battle. For on thy right hand and on thy left hand, there are enemies who never rest. They're all around you. They never rest. Chip Ingram tells this story that I think is a good example of why we need to be alert. Chip Ingram's a pastor and writer. This is the story. He said there was a African missionary who's also served as a medic. And from time to time, to get medical supplies, he had to make a 2-day trip by bicycle through this jungle trail. Halfway, because it was 2 days, he would stop and camp out alone in the middle of the jungle. Okay, he was making a trip once. He gets to the other city where he gets the supplies, and there was a man who'd been badly injured, been in a fight. And he treats the guy, and he shares the gospel with him. And then he leaves after he got supplies, goes back home. Okay, when it was time to get supplies again, he goes back to the city and sees that same man. And that man tells him this story. He said, you know, last time when you treated me, and he also shared the gospel with him, he said, the last time that happened, when you left to return, I followed you because I was going to kill you and rob you. And I had some other thieves with me. But when you camped for the night and I saw you had 26 armed soldiers with you, I decided, better not. And we turned around and left. He said, I couldn't believe you had these 26 armed soldiers with you. And this missionary medic was just kind of completely baffled. He didn't have these soldiers with him. And he wasn't quite sure what to make of it. Well, several months later, he was home at his home church, and he was telling this story, and a man stands up. Maybe it wasn't a big service like this, and maybe it's a small group or something. A man stands up and said, I remember that night because God awakened me, or God put it on my heart. He burdened me to pray and to gather some others to pray for you that night. And so I gathered some other men. In fact, there are a lot of them are here. And we prayed for you that night. And what did God do? Except put these angels around him. They had all the men stand up who were at that prayer gathering for the missionary. There were 26 of them. 26. And that man testified, you had 26 armed soldiers around you. Church, more things are wrought in prayer than this world dreams of. That's Tennyson. Alfred Tennyson, the great British poet. More things are wrought in prayer than this world dreams of. Do you know that? Do you know that's true? Do you know that that's where the power is? That every day we read in CNN and here in CNN and read all the incessant activity in Washington, D.C., and in Moscow, and in Austin, and in Hollywood, and around the world. That's not where the power is. Those are mere grasshoppers. The power belongs to the intercessors who call out to a sovereign God. And this is the battle. This is the power. This is where eternities are shaped. And so, this is not just your greatest privilege. This is the real work of ministry. Everything else, just the results. It is prayer. It is prayer. Okay, keep alert with all perseverance. That is, you're not alert for 15 minutes a day. You're alert all the time, and you persevere in that. And you keep praying. Some of you have been praying for a long time for some breakthroughs in some loved ones. Maybe in your top five, maybe your parents, maybe kids. You're just praying. Don't stop. Don't give up. Pray with all perseverance. Remember, Jesus gave us that unusual parable in Luke 18 about this widow who was being wronged, and she just persisted in praying to this unrighteous judge. And it was kind of an odd parable, but the whole point Jesus gave at the outset, and it's the only parable in the New Testament, that he gives the point of the parable at the outset, so we don't miss it. And this is what he said in Luke 18:1. He said, and Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And you know why he does that and why he tells us this? Because we tend to lose heart when we've been praying a long time. Because we're wondering if God hears those prayers. Church, all through my Bible, your Bible, God tells us over and over and over again to pray, pray, pray. It cannot happen that you can pray and God not take it into account and respond. Doesn't mean we get everything we want when we want. But God cannot not respond to your prayers. And that ought to encourage you when you grow faint in the battle. Keep alert with prayer for all, with all perseverance. And then finally, the fourth all in the verse, making supplication for all the saints. Making intercession for all the saints. Now certainly, We pray for our non-Christian friends. If you're new here and you don't know about our top five, I ask you to ask God, Lord, give me five people who don't yet know you that I can start praying daily for with perseverance. We pray for non-Christians. Paul did that. But he says, there is a special charge to pray for the saints. These are your brothers and sisters, and they need it. They need it. Your loved ones need it. Your family needs it. Your home church group needs it. Your pastor needs it. Your church needs it. Believers around the world, they need it. Certainly, our missionaries need it. We shouldn't send out missionaries because they're in the midst of the raging spiritual battle on the front lines. Don't send out missionaries if the church is not going to pray for them. Learn our missionaries. Go to our website. Pray for them daily. They need it. Making supplication for all the saints. You know, this is the ministry of intercession. And all of us have callings in ministry. We don't all have the same calling. Some of you, not all of you, but some of you, maybe, I don't know, it's one out of 10, one out of 20, you have special callings of intercession. Emily, I just happened to glance over at you. I know Emily has a special calling of intercession. She's also my dentist, but she also has a special calling of intercession. But everybody who's a believer has the responsibility for intercession. But some of you have, I mean, that's your main thing. Get after it. But every single one of us had better make that a big part of our life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German theologian that Hitler had killed, he said this, that a Christian fellowship lives, well, if it's going to be up there, I better get it right. Let me get it right. Please put that quote up there. A Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. You either got it and it's going to thrive, or you don't have much intercession and it's going to wilt. Thank you, Woods Edge, for your intercession. Thank you. It means the world. It's hard work. The founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, put it this way. He says, you must pray with all your might. This does not mean that you're saying your prayers or that you're sitting gazing about in church and chapel with eyes wide open while someone else prays for them. Here's a little test for you. When I hit my knees here and start going through the Lord's Prayer, do you zone out, wait till I get done? Or are you praying lockstep with me? Hallowed be your name that you feel inside. Lord, I want your name to be honored. Lord, I want your will to be done. Lord, I need my daily bread. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Are you praying with me or are you zoning out? Prayer is hard work, and we tend to be lazy. And we'd rather not work hard. But it's where the power is. Someone put it this way, true intercession is a sacrifice, a bleeding sacrifice. I think it's the most Christ-like thing you do. It is behind the scenes. Nobody knows it except you and God. And it is the most selfless thing you could do. I mean, I'm not giving any kudos for being in my prayer closet praying for other people. It is the most Christ-like, selfless, sacrificial, cross-like thing that we can do as believers. Get after it. Get after it. With all intercession, with all supplication. As I was preparing for this message this week, I felt like God put a prompt in me, a leading, a challenge, and this is what it was. I do a lot of intercession. I feel like that's part of my calling. As a pastor, I basically feel called to give leadership, to preach, and to intercede. And so I do a lot of intercession. A lot of you by name because you either have cancer, you need a job, or you got mental problems, or marriage issues. If I know about you, I'll write you down and I'll pray for you regularly. But this is what God prompted me. He says, Jeff, you need to turn up the intensity level of your intercession. It's too tepid. Turn up the flame, Jeff, because intercession is hard work. So I need to do that. All right, that's verse 18. That's most of our message. But at the end, he does say, while you're praying for all those saints, pray for me. And quickly, this is what he says. In 19, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it, the gospel, boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Paul is in house arrest in Rome. The emperor is Nero. He's crazy. He's insane. He could kill Paul at any time. He doesn't on this imprisonment, but his next time to get in prison, Paul will be beheaded. I mean, stakes are real here. And Paul is in house arrest, chained to two Roman guards who rotate every 4 hours. He says, pray for me. Now, if you were in Paul's shoes and you're writing a letter to this beloved church where you spent 3 years in Ephesus and you said, pray for me, what would you ask to pray for? This is what I would ask for. I would say, pray for me that I'd be rescued out of this jail because Nero is crazy and I need to be out there sharing the gospel. That's not what Paul prays. He says, pray for me that I'd be bold and fearless in sharing the gospel with these guys. You know, I got a captive audience here. And pray that I can make it clear because eternities are at stake. It wouldn't have been wrong for him to pray for release. That'd have been fine. But Paul was so God-centered, so Christ-centered, he was just caught up in the cause of Christ and not in the comforts of himself. What would that be like if we lived that way? Caught up in the cause of Christ more than our own comforts and needs. Then he moves to the last few lines. Oh, by the way, I should tell you a couple of things. One, I am shocked that Paul needed to pray for boldness because he seemed to me to be completely fearless. Man, he'd get stoned, he'd still talk. But even Paul felt the need for boldness. Even he had some weak moments. That encourages me because I need boldness. In fact, as I move toward the start of the year, in December, I do what I sometimes do. I began praying, God, Lord, what are the areas of sin in my life? Or what are the growth areas that you really are most concerned about for me that need to be changing? And over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, God gave me about 4 things that need to be changed in my life. Gail added a 5th one to that, and I trust that's I trust that God prompted that too. I could listen better. But of the 4, one of them was right here. That when I am interacting with neighbors, non-Christians, my top 5, Jeff, that you just be more fearless and just you just don't change your conversation. You just keep being yourself. It encourages me that Paul needed the same thing. He needed boldness. All right, last 4 verses. So that you also may know how I am and what I'm doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Tychicus was one of his close disciples. He was with him in Rome. He wasn't in the prison, but he would visit him in house arrest. Tychicus is the one who would take the letter back to the Ephesians. He also took, we learn in Colossians, the letter of Colossians and Philemon. So he took those letters back, and he would also tell them about Paul, more details, and encourage them. And then in 23, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. That is, those of you who love Christ with this unquenchable love, this deathless love, this stubborn love, this undying love, grace be to you. Grace be to you. This week when I was working on this, and I was working on a plane coming back from vacation, and I thought, that's Woods Edge. That's Woods Edge. So many folks at Woods Edge are that way. They love Jesus with love incorruptible. Way to go, church. God loves that. So the main challenge to us is that in this spiritual battle that we all fight, that's raging around us, prayer pervades everything. It is how we fight the battle. Hence the urgency of prayer. Hence the urgency for each of us in our own time with the Lord each day, in our own praying and interceding for the people that God puts in our hearts. Hence the urgency when we gather on Wednesday nights because God loves them. We pray together and call out together our Wednesday night prayer service, the urgency of it. Let me close with this story. There's a great story involving the early missionaries in China. Now, you may know that since 1949, when the Christians missionaries were kicked out of China and many of the Chinese believers and preachers were killed, that we had the greatest revival in history take place. By the way, China is getting really bad again, and a lot more overt persecution. And they got kicked out, and the church began to thrive, and it was really the legacy of the work that Hudson Taylor started with the China Inland Mission. The legacy just ripples on to today. Now, the man who succeeded Hudson Taylor is a man by the name of D.E. Host. He's not famous, but he must have been an incredible man to succeed Hudson Taylor. And here's his story. As a young missionary in China, he was responsible for two villages, but they were separated by this mountain range, and it was very difficult to travel back and forth. He felt the only thing he could do was to live in one village and pray for the other village. Occasionally, he would travel to the other village, but mostly he spent just about all of his time in the village where he lived. Every time he traveled to the new village that he hardly ever went to, they were doing much better with the gospel than his own village. And he's thinking, I'm preaching, I'm counseling, you know, I'm teaching these folks, and yet they're not thriving like those folks, and I'm never there. And so he sought the Lord. Lord, what's going on there? Why is our village not thriving more? And he felt like God said to him this. He said, because you can't go to that village, you pray so much more for it. And he felt like God put it on his heart that when it comes to discipleship, making disciples, reaching people for Christ, building people in Christ, when it comes to making disciples, there are four crucial elements. Prayer, 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 and the Word of God. And he felt that God put his heart about that order and in that amount. You know, I don't know if it's quite that amount, but church, the real work is prayer. That is what changes eternities, lives, countries. Do you know that the Iron Curtain fell in 1989 largely because of the unseen prayers of a lot of old women in Russia, the Soviet bloc? History, as it is said, history belongs to the intercessors. Are you one of them? That you will be one of those intercessors. What's God put in your heart this morning about prayer? Has he prompted something so far? I've already told you what mine is, that Jeff, you need to raise the flame of your intercession. What about yours? What about you? Ask him right now. Just bow your head, close your eyes, and ask him, Lord, what do I need to hear from you about my prayer life? Just listen to his promptings. Pray in the Spirit. If you put something in your heart, press into it. If you didn't feel like you heard hear anything yet, keep pressing into it. Keep praying. Stand with me, please, as I close. Lord, thank you for these, your people who love you. Bless them. Bless them in every way. Lord God, give us a great sense of urgency of the calling of prayer in the midst of the battle. Help us, we pray. We need it. Amen.